This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're halfway home on a Friday. Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Getting you ready for the big one tonight in Los Angeles. I'm Woodsy. That is Adam Klug filling in for Paul Reindel. We call him Bald Reindel when he's filling in for Paul Reindel. We have Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to all of you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks to everyone in the chat. You can go to YouTube, watch us on YouTube. The chat has been a total cesspool the last few days. A lot of Dodger fans in there. And it's just been just nonstop smack talk for the whole week. It's been great. This is the beauty of playoff baseball, man.
We're so used to living in our own world of Padres baseball for months and months. But this is now everybody's world. This game tonight, as we talked about earlier, it's going to be one of the biggest games really in the history of the division series. And joining us right now to talk about it and the rest of the postseason is our friend from Cespedes Family Barbecue and Yahoo Sports. We got Jake Mintz with us here this morning. Jake, we are we're nervous wrecks here in San Diego, as you can imagine, heading into tonight's matchup.
It is better to have that pit in your stomach than feel nothing at all, my dear friends. I'm just, frankly, happy that Manny Machado hasn't been locked up at ADX Florence Supermax Prison for his malicious attack.
So vicious,
on,
man.
Dave Roberts.
Holy smokes. So talk about much ado about nothing, man. It was pretty nuts to live through that, Jake. And you are a guy that can speak very well to a mountain being made out of a molehill with what happened to you in the last playoffs with Orlando Arcia and Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I mean, it was isn't it crazy? You lived it in real time to see just this tiny little snowball then roll down the hill. And you're like, now that thing is the size of a boulder. It's pretty nuts how it all goes.
Yeah. I would say the difference, Manny Machado has accomplished a great deal more than I have.
That's
in
fair.
My life.
That's fair.
And so he stands on quite a bit more business than I would. It was, again, like, multiple things could be true. Did Manny throw that ball a little bit harder than
sure.
he usually does? Yeah. Like, is it, to me, I thought the most ridiculous part of that entire conversation was when Dave Roberts said he felt unsettled, but then the video reveals that he was quite literally settled.
Correct.
And did not react to it.
Yeah, I never saw it until later.
Yes. But in these high pressure tense series, these little moments do snowball on people because emotions are running so high that something that would be completely forgettable in the regular season turns into the storyline. Now, thankfully, I think what happened in games 3 and 4 put it to bed a little bit,
yeah.
and we could focus on the pure, unadulterated ball heading into game 5.
So, I couldn't agree more.
So kind of an historic matchup as well, assuming you can believe the Dodgers when they say Yoshinobu Yamamoto is going to start, and we can't totally believe anything they're saying right now, given their gamesmanship. What's he
Wait,
think?
Time out. If Yoshinobu Yamamoto doesn't start, you folks should be ecstatic.
If he doesn't, why? Padres own Yamamoto. Why are they starting him in the first place?
Well, because, okay, so what's the other option?
The bullpen day.
Like, it's, oh, the bullpen day is what scares us.
The gnarly-ass bullpen day to just shut us down.
You guys are horrified of Jonathan Hull's staff. Look,
yes.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it. But I think Yamamoto is a very flawed pitcher. Where he's at right now in his development, his stuff is comical when he's on.
Yeah.
The command is not always there. And if it is true that the Padres had some cues on him on what pitches he was throwing, that is a nice advantage. That being said, the Dodgers trying to suck 3 or 4 innings out of him, like, I would much rather face the hodgepodge of randos coming out of the bullpen. I understand your concern. I guess what you were referring to, by the way, is this is the first showdown pitching matchup in the playoffs between two Japanese-born pitchers
Correct.
That we've ever had. Yu Darvish against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And I have to say, I'm happy that Darvish gets to be the one in that moment. He is the single greatest Japanese-born pitcher of all time.
No doubt.
With all due respect to Hideo Nomo, the gap in career wins above replacement is significant. Now, I would argue that Nomo is like more important in terms of how Japanese baseball has functioned coming over here into the States.
More
right?
of a groundbreaker.
But as far as
trailblazer.
Groundbreaker. Yeah. Like, trailblazer, like, you can't... Obviously, that's unbelievable. Nomo was an amazing thing. In terms of career production, Darvish stands alone. Number one. And I think he's one of the more important players in the game of baseball over the last decade. And so it's cool that he's going to have this opportunity, this moment in Dodger Stadium, which for him has been a house of horrors over the course of his career. Obviously, Game 7 in the 2017 World Series being the biggest of those.
I have a theory that has really no basis in anything anyone said or even really the numbers, but I just have this feeling that when other Japanese players, whether it be Shohei Ohtani or even another pitcher, goes up against Yu Darvish, it's intimidating to them. They have it's such a respect-based culture. Like, it gets a little bit in their heads when they go up against. They treat Yu Darvish like a god, essentially in Japan, and it's
so
a
there
little
is
hard
an element
to go
there
up
is an
against
element
Yu Darvish
of reverence there.
Yeah.
However, what I think about is what Ohtani said to the Japanese team before they smoked US in the final in WBC, which is, if we want to beat them, we can't respect them. Like, we have to be better than them, right? We can't be afraid of them. And I think that that is the mentality Ohtani, like,
this is proving
pragmatically
yourself here right now,
will take against Darvish, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Ohtani is going to be up
he's
there.
Not, he's
like,
not laying
whoa,
down.
Whoa, look at that
no,
guy.
I know that as well. And if anything, it may just be a little bit subconscious, but there is a reverence there that you don't generally see from big league players against an opponent. There's always respect. I think respect is very
I don't
common.
Respect anyone that much, even myself.
Same.
But it's like a reverence almost that I've noticed from Japanese players toward Yu Darvish in particular.
No doubt. No doubt about
he
it.
He matters. That guy matters.
Talking to our pal Jake Mintz here on Ben and Woods this morning on a grand old Friday. Can't wait to get some grand old barbecue. Hopefully I get a chance to eat it at the ballpark. Again, one more time, two more times, four more times this season, maybe even more, Jake. But great to have you with us this morning. The playoffs have been awesome. There's no question. We talked to our pal Eno Saris yesterday and wanted to get his take on all of these bullpen games that have been going down, you know, specifically what the Dodgers did. And then, of course, what A.J. Hinch is doing. And one of the guys that worked in sports in town is a real dear friend of A.J. Hinch's. We were talking about it over the weekend, and he loves this. I mean, this is like going to the playground for my three-year-old. I mean, the chance to get to manage a bullpen game, you know, almost every single game, he loves it. He revels in it. Eno said, I'd like to legislate it out of baseball. What are your thoughts on the bullpen game and kind of its place?
Do you know when you find, like, an old shoelace or a big ball of yarn that's tangled up?
Yeah.
And you see that and you're like, oh, I can't wait to have that be a problem for me.
That's going
to
be
a problem. I get my hands all over that. Right? I just want to spend an hour untangling this.
How about Christmas
lights? Have a beer,
lights?
Put my headphones on, listen to an audiobook.
Christmas lights, you know, the big ball. You're right? Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So as a member of the community of Jews, I cannot speak to the Christmas lights phenomenon. However, I do believe you. That feeling, though, is what A.J. Hinch is having managed. It seems like a really lovely challenge. I don't know if I would legislate it out of the game, but I do want to make this point. Multiple things can be true about these games. They are oftentimes the optimal way to navigate a game. They are also significantly less entertaining.
Correct.
That's the problem.
I am A.J. Hinch's masochistic enjoyment of pressing the right buttons at the right times. I'm happy for him. There are other hobbies. The rest of us would like to see a starter work deep into the game. How I would go about legislating that is a longer conversation. I would need to really think about it. That being said, right, like, I would much rather see Tarek Skubal just work into the eighth. 100%. That's way more fun.
100%.
Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue with us. I'm assuming it's your colleague Jordan who was at the Comerica Park yesterday. I saw some.
Yes,
some
that was him. I have not. I've yet to leave the Eastern Seaboard this playoff season, which is actually kind of lovely. I was in Baltimore and then I was in Queens and the Bronx and Philly and back to Queens and back to the Bronx. So, yes, Jordan was the one covering
that,
the AL.
That was quite a game, though, and that is quite the series. I mean, now it comes down to the game five in Cleveland, but with Scooble on the mound. And while it's probably the the Midwest center of the country that Major League Baseball is not rooting for to be represented in the World Series, hard to imagine a better series, really, than the one that those guys have put together.
Oh, it's been outstanding. It's been outstanding. And I've gotten, like, again, the Yankees will always dominate ratings. But just, like, on the back end of, like, our stuff at Yahoo, like, our stuff about the Tigers does really, really well right now.
Yeah.
Because every casual fan who doesn't have a team in the playoffs is really either rooting for the Tigers or, frankly, the Padres right now. Just because of how much of an underdog journey it's been for them. So I'm really excited to see this game five. Again, Scooble is the best pitcher in the world. And so you have to just lean Detroit in the winner take all game. But the way that Cleveland plays, really crisp, really aggressively fun small ball, they could eke out a couple of runs against Scooble. I mean, in game two against him, they had multiple runners on multiple times and grounded it into really untimely double plays. So excited to watch that one.
Going to be a lot of fun. We're hoping that the Padres will continue their run. I'm going up to the game after the show, so I'll be there tonight. And we will continue our postseason conversation, probably catch up with Jordan next week. But, Jake, want to thank you for everything as well. And I'll probably catch up with you around World Series time in a couple weeks.
Your city is in my thoughts.
Thank you,
tonight, when I go to services for Yom Kippur, okay, and the Book of Life is open, I will write the San Diego Padres thank and all you. Their fans in to my heart, except for that violent numbskull, Manny Machado.
The sinister sling, to be Manny Machado. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Jake, I'll be thinking of you when I tuck into something delicious around midnight tonight because I won't be fasting.
That's right.
So, yeah, good luck with
hungry
your fast.
Hungry for wins, baby.
That's right. That's Jake all Mintz, we need to eat.
Cespedes Family Barbecue and happy Yom Kippur. Also, do you wish a happy Yom Kippur? It's somber day. Is it like Memorial Day? This would be Paul's favorite Jewish holiday.
Is this
as well.
A somber day?
It's a day of atonement. What do you have to atone for? Anything,
can you
Adam?
Do it live on the air? All of your sins over the past year.
Are you
a sinner? And you do that by not eating for 24 hours, eating or drinking, nothing at all.
That's correct.
Tell me more. I want to know more. It is Yom Kippur, what, tonight?
At sundown tonight.
Sunset
so
tonight.
Sundown to sundown tomorrow.
And then you break eating. Your fast with a nice
a
Seder,
feast.
Right? A big meal.
Not a Seder.
That's not a
it's
Seder.
It's called a
that's
breakfast.
A break fast.
Breakfast.
It's not breakfast.
We eat,
so.
We eat breakfast food. We'll have bagels.
You will. Oh, you will. At night, though. Mm-hmm. You'll start. You'll have breakfast for dinner is always
why do you say breakfast?
Well, because you're breaking your fast. That's what... That's the origin root word of breakfast.
So we just put it together, breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast. You're breaking your fast from the, you know, slept, you didn't eat while you were sleeping, then you break your fast in the morning with your first meal.
Why did you play the music? I want to talk more about this. Do you do you actually fast?
Yes.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
No water,
how hard,
no nothing?
Okay, hang on, because I'm like an eighth Jewish, but I've never celebrated any of the high holidays. I want to know how difficult it is to go 24 hours without any food or water. Have you ever done it, Woods?
No. It's one of the dumbest questions you've ever asked in your entire life.
So.
Do you think I could make it through 10 minutes without a drink of water?
We'll come back and find out what it really feels like to be Yom Kippur fasting next on 97.3 The Fan. And here on the Ben and Woods program, we respect and are curious about all customs and different cultures and traditions, including those of our Hebrew brothers and sisters, including Adam Klug, who is going to be honoring the tradition of Yom Kippur starting at sundown tonight, which is, what time is sundown? Do we know when the sun sets? Around 6:45, somewhere around there?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
So I assume as you're atoning and fasting and not having anything to eat or drink,
6:19.
You also can't like be watching a baseball game, right?
Oh,
it needs
I'll
to
be
very
filled with anxiety watching the game.
Somber. You need to turn off the television the moment the sun goes down and then find out in 24 hours. You can log back onto your devices and find out tomorrow night whether the Padres won or not.
Yeah, we just fast and do nothing. We sit around in the house
you raw dog an entire day, essentially. No, really. I mean, what are you... So I know you can't eat or drink. Is that the extent of it? There's some prayer, I'm sure, involved. And
mm-hmm. My wife will actually be going to synagogue tonight. I'll be staying home with the kids.
Yeah,
I don't have babysitting services
She's letting you not go with her.
Correct. And I'll be watching the game, and then we'll go to synagogue tomorrow morning as well.
Okay.
The whole family, and then we'll sit around the house and hopefully
listen to Ben
working.
Woods, hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've found that watching the games with small children is really super fun. Listening to their screams from the other room as an intense moment has been elite. An elite way to consume
it. Why don't you just lock them into a small space where they can't get into any trouble?
I would if it was socially acceptable. I did ask my wife this morning, could you please, please take them somewhere? She goes, no, I want to watch too.
So, Adam, I'm imagining, like, right before sundown, you're going to have a decent meal to, like, get you set up. So, tonight's not a problem. You go to bed.
No, tonight's fine.
You're fine. You wake up in the morning, though, then no breakfast.
I'm not a big breakfast guy. I mean,
water. Okay, so that's not. So
have
when,
you guys had anything to eat today?
I have not.
I haven't either.
No. So, you know, lunch comes around tomorrow, and now you're probably feeling like, all right.
I'm starting getting pretty hangry around 1 or 2 o'clock.
All right, so really, it's just the last 6 or 7 hours where you're feeling like, all right, now I'm really jonesing for something to eat or drink.
And look, we've been known on occasion to break fast, you know, maybe around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. If you're, you know,
you're celebrating
you start getting a headache
East
or whatever.
Coast Yom Kippur. You know, you can do the time zone change.
Well, then you can just atone for that sin next Yom Kippur.
Oh, that's right.
That's how you do it.
Remember
sorry about
last year when I ate a little
early? Sorry about it. I had some almonds. I'm very sorry. Do what you must to me. Yeah, well, I'm not jealous of you at all, Adam, for having to fast. And it's the water that kills me. The water I just couldn't do it. I couldn't make it through the no coffee, no nothing.
Now, obviously, the kids don't do this. The kids eat.
No, they do.
Yeah.
So now you have to feed
I've
them.
I've got young children. When, they can't do that.
You
can't
when
do
you it. Go to synagogue.
So you get to watch them eat.
You watch them eat.
God.
When you go those nuggies have never looked so good.
When you go to synagogue, do you wear a yarmulke?
Of course.
Yeah. You do?
Yeah, of course.
And how does it stay on? It's like a really
it
small
fits on, it
hat.
It kind of fits on top of your
is it
head.
Like, is it elastic or is it, how does, I mean, like.
I don't know what it's made of, but I mean, it's just.
I mean, if you,
had,
you don't
head.
Have a lot of hair, but
now,
like,
they do
Woods
make,
has got like hair.
They do make
it,
clips that
yeah,
if you
okay,
actually
yeah.
have
clip.
Hair,
okay, there's
you can
a clip.
Clip it on. And
how about small
hair.
Needles that go right into the top of your scalp that will hold it on?
Just what? I'm just curious because it's a really small hat, essentially.
It's not that small.
It's not.
It'll stay on top of pretty much anybody's head.
It will. Okay.
Yes.
And
yeah,
what's
the Dodger fans in the chat are getting mad that we're not talking about the Dodgers. I'm just going to tell you, buddy, if you go to LA radio right now, I'll bet you $1,000 they're not talking about the Dodgers. I'll bet you they give it a cursory mention today and then talk about the
there was a Lakers preseason
the
game last
night.
And
Bronny and what he's doing.
I mean, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks in the preseason last night. They're going to get 2.5 hours on that, no doubt about
buddy,
it.
Buddy, we got 4 hours to fill, my friend, and we're going to talk about whatever we want.
Including yarmulkes.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, anyway, Adam, absolutely best to you and your family.
Thank you. Appreciate
tonight.
It.
Tonight. And I'm glad you still get to watch the game and you don't have to wait 24 hours to find out what happened.
Yeah. Can't wait.
No, no one can.
No, I'm excited. What's the plan for the rest of the day, fellas? Like, you working more today? You have to run the board or anything?
No, I'll be done with my studio duties at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
But other stuff.
Yeah, okay. I am. I'm getting in the car and meeting my photographer again, and heading up to Dodger Stadium right after the show, and going pregame live starting at 4 o'clock.
He's going to drive.
He's going to drive again.
Will you sleep in the car on the way?
I don't know. I may actually do some work on my laptop to get ready. I took some of the sound from yesterday and going to put that together for some pregame coverage at 4 o'clock. Probably talk to some fans quickly that have shown up for the game. Have that for the top of the five, and then I'll go in right for first pitch at 5:08. Right
now,
first
pitch. You sit in the back, right? Make him chauffeur you around.
I sit in the front because I get car sick in the back, so I can't sit in the back seat. Unfortunately, we also have our engineer John. He was in the back. He'll probably be in the back again on this trip.
You're send John to the back
again. You know, he seemed comfortable back there.
Now, will they stop for lunch for you? Because you've been up for a while.
We probably will not. We need to get up there. I don't know what traffic. It's Friday.
Yes,
Friday
you
traffic
do know
is,
what traffic's going to be like.
Bad.
It's going to be horrendous.
It's going to be bad Friday traffic. So I don't think there's any thoughts of stopping. It's going to be a straight shot up there and just get there as soon as possible.
And then John is the one that has to sit in the van while you guys
the
go
whole
to the game.
Yeah.
What a gig!
He did that for two straight days last weekend. So this is at least just one day.
And what then, a gig!
So after the game, we'll be in the Padres clubhouse, win or lose. Either it'll be a celebratory or somber place. And then we'll have live coverage at 11 p.m. tonight on 10 News. And then we will drive back home. I will get back home around probably 1:30 in the morning and get a little bit of sleep. And hopefully getting up for a special show tomorrow at 11 o'clock if the Padres do win.
Yep.
And they are going on to the NLCS.
I'll tell you this, man.
What are you doing the rest of the day?
I'm going to go home and I'm going to take a nap. Spend some time, some quality time with myself, if you know what I mean. Then I'm going to eat some lunch. Then I'm going to play with my kids. I'm going to get Bo out of school. We're going to play baseball in the streets. That's what we do on Friday. And have a great time doing it. We always play ball on Friday, throw and hit and the whole thing. Some of his friends come down. And we'll do that. And then we'll just, you know, we'll order some food for the game. Have a delicious feast that I probably will just push around with my fork. I won't be able to eat much before the game tonight. Take a Xanax and then settle in for a game.
Sounds like you're actually going to have the best game day experience of all
so.
Of us.
I think I will.
No driving, no fasting.
No. Just playing with my kids, no having
working,
fun, no working.
It's just, gonna be just going home and a lot of eating
Well,
and
the
resting.
Thing is, though, is like, unlike, like, you guys will be staying busy. I'll be left alone with my thoughts
That's true.
For the entire
That's true.
Day.
You know, it's almost,
awful.
It is almost a blessing. Like, I'll be working so much, I'll be distracted right until the game starts, and then it's like, okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we are. One way or another, it's going to be over in a couple of hours, and we'll find out. Nothing we can do about it. We're just fans,
yeah.
Just like everybody else. We expect the outcome of the game.
No, we can't, you know, but it's... and you know what? I realized I screwed up the other day. I have been. Will you admit this, Benny? We've covered how many games this year together? All of them.
All of them.
Every one. All the spring training games. Have
it's
you...
190, by the way, I counted, including
Is
spring
right?
training,
okay.
The Padres, postseason, regular season, and spring training. Padres have now played 190 games.
We don't dedicate part of our lives to the San Diego Padres. We dedicate all of it. I mean, really, all of it.
As does much of our audience as
Correct.
Well.
That's exactly right. But we don't use it as like, oh, they're in the playoffs. Let's make a fun Instagram video saying go Padres. Like, these are our lives. Like, covered every single game, every pitch, every transaction. This season, have you noticed something about me? I'm not doing my weird, crazy superstitions all year. I just watched the games, loved what I saw, you know, for the most part. Great, great season. I screwed up the other night in the 8-0 loss. I listened to the same playlist I listened to the night before because we had a win. I put on the same clothes that I wore the night before because of the win. I lit my Peter Seidler
candle.
You did
superstitions.
I did them, and we lost. It's the first time all season I got crazy. It's the first time I went nuts and was like, I got to do this. I haven't mentioned it this year. I haven't told people, hey, wear what you wore yesterday. Nothing. I've just been cool, calm, and collected.
Other than the plastic roach.
Just the roach.
Sitting right in front
He's
of
the
you.
Only yeah. one. It's the only thing. And that's more of a show thing. But for me, my personal, I've thrown them all out the window.
Well, you know me. I don't.
You don't do them.
I feel like it's just too exhausting to try to keep track of
it
all
was,
your superstitions.
Dude. It really, really was. And
I heard some callers yesterday calling in with Annie and Elston
yeah.
and talking about, is it okay if I wore to wear a different jersey than the one I wore in the game that they won?
The answer is yes.
I also wore it and they lost a game at some point. You're going to drive yourself crazy
yeah,
trying to keep track of every single garment that you've worn for every good game. I promise you, there's no combination of clothes that you can wear that can prevent every loss, and there's no anything that you do that can guarantee a victory.
Yeah.
It's just
there's nothing you can do.
It's just nothing you can do. It'll come down between the white lines to which baseball team performs, which one doesn't meets the moment tonight. You know, it's about in a game like this, it is about meeting the moment and not making it too big. It's still a baseball game. Ultimately, and they talked about this yesterday. It's the 191st baseball game that they are playing. A few of them didn't mean anything at all in spring training. Some of the regular season games feel like they don't mean that much. But this one, even though it means everything, it's still 9 innings, 3 outs per inning. The same rules are going to apply the same way you won. Really, the first spring training game is how you have to win this game. You have to hit, you have to field, you have to pitch, you have to execute. Try to make less mistakes than the other team. Nothing has changed. It is just a baseball game. And the team that plays the best baseball will almost certainly win the baseball game today. And everything else is noise.
Just noise, man.
And we're part of that noise. And the fans, you're part of that noise as well. The players, they're kind of trying to shut out the noise and just play the best baseball game they can. That's the only thing that will affect what happens tonight at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, it's how they execute or don't. That's it. Execution.
All right, we'll take a timeout. I think we have a Klug report, some headlines coming up.
Yes.
See what else is going on. Certainly some updates from around the sports world. And we will continue on our manager's report with Mike Schiltz, which is actually done yesterday with Gwynn and Chris. But we'll have that audio for you coming up as well with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Had our roundtable topic yesterday that we discussed. What would be your good old-fashioned shake things up slash panic move before Game 5? And we both discussed the possibility of moving Fernando Tatis Jr. up to the number one spot in the lineup. Sammy tweeted about it. It was a hot topic, and I think a lot of Padres fans kind of liked that idea of perhaps a leadoff role for Fernando Tatis Jr. Get him up that maybe one extra time. If this is the one day you can get him up one more time, give it a shot. I didn't get the sense from Mike Schilt yesterday, Woods, that he was going to make any changes like that.
I didn't. He did say something, though, later in the day that I saw somebody tweet that he'll have a lineup ready for whoever they throw out there. I don't know if that means I'll have the same lineup regardless or I will have a different lineup for a different pitcher.
I mean, and we'll hear the audio from his interview with Gwynn and Chris. Chris kind of asked him, might you shake things up a little bit? And I think he said something to the effect of, what do you think? And Chris said, I think you probably won't. And Mike kind of agreed with him. And then he also said, then A.J. Cassavale, I believe, asked him yesterday at the workout a similar version, and he kind of went with the Belichickian, we'll have a lineup for you tomorrow sort of answer.
Okay.
Just like not going to reveal anything today.
I miss talking to Schilty, man. I haven't talked to him in a while.
I know.
I said hello
to him. I've seen him a few times now in the last week.
Yeah.
And he's been very friendly.
It's the weird schedules, it's just different during the regular season. So Gwynn and Chris are getting a chance to talk to him. So, yeah, I want to play that because I haven't heard it yet.
So, yeah, we'll have that for you coming up at the top of the hour. Adam's got some headlines for us right after traffic, though, with a little Klug report. So we'll get to that after Kelly Danik. And get things started here with our today's edition of the
Klug report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the
Klug
Report.
Right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
Let's start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Why are you laughing, Beyonce?
It's the
Klug
Report on 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
All right.
Yours should be, hey. He even starts his email off with, hey. So good. Go ahead.
Have I mentioned that I hate you guys?
Sometimes, yeah.
Mostly him, though, right?
Mostly me.
You like me.
Oh, I like Ben.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Throw that in the things Adam likes.
Yeah.
I'll leave. Good luck in Cleveland. Just like Mickey Mantle said. Good luck in Cleveland.
Let's briefly, since these are other sports stories, we'll briefly touch on the fact that there was a football game played last night. 49ers and Seahawks played on Thursday Night Football, and the Niners came out victorious, 36-24. Brock Purdy threw for 3 touchdowns, no picks. Geno Smith had a touchdown pass and 2 interceptions. It was a much-needed win for San Fran. Had a disappointing loss against Arizona the week before.
It's rude of the NFL to play games during the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, you know they're going to, though.
I mean, you know, we carried it last night. I did not watch last night's game because I was watching the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, same.
Caught that great Guardians and Tigers game. Caught the Yankees game. Just never turned on the Seahawks and 49ers.
Had an early bird special with Mrs. Woods last night at our beloved Sushi Lounge and sat down. And I said to her, isn't it wild how little football has been on in our house? She goes, I forgot it existed. I mean, I mean college, pro. She goes, I honestly forgot that it existed this season because last year at this time, we were watching football. because I was also watching the baseball playoffs, but, you know, the Padres were out of it. So it is a foregone, it is just out of my
purview. Be there when baseball season's over.
It's going to be there.
It's fine. I mean, it always bothered me that in the middle of the pennant races, most of the country's attention then shifts to preseason football. It's like, there's something more important going on right now. But I understand. The NFL is still king in most places in this country, but I love that San Diego is a baseball town. As Jeff Passan told us this week, there's no doubt about it. San Diego, you are a baseball town through and through.
Brandon 619 in the chat says, I'm going to throw up. And you're talking Thursday night football. Yeah, it's a nice respite for you.
Well, we didn't have to do the Klug report.
I love the Klug report. Go ahead.
I'd rather be talking baseball. Let's talk a moment about Giants rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers. He's having an incredible season. 35 catches for 386 yards and 3 touchdowns in just 4 games so far this season. I said 4 games because he missed the last game with a concussion.
Okay.
He's not been cleared from concussion protocol,
okay,
but videos all over social media of him at a Travis Scott concert,
okay,
which concerts can be loud, not
okay,
great when you have a concussion.
Is that true?
Yeah, bright lights, loud noises, and he's been the player's been getting a lot of criticism from fans for going to a concert. How do you guys feel about a player going to a concert while in the concussion protocol?
It doesn't bother me.
I mean, it's not going to re-concuss you. You may get some head, you know, side effects from it, but I would imagine you just then go and be somewhere quiet for 15 or 20 minutes and you're okay again. It's not like you're not re-damaging your skull. I mean, it's not, you're not going to hit your head on something again at the concert. If he can stand it, then he can go.
I think so. You don't know the severity of it, as Drew says. And Dominic says, was he wearing headphones like a baby, like with Bo and Taylor?
Did you do that with your kids?
Oh, yeah.
And loud events? We never did that with our kids.
You probably didn't?
No. I don't know if
they didn't
felt
do
like
that
it was even
back
a thing,
then.
Like 20 years ago when our kids were children. They didn't have the whole, you need to wear the noise-canceling headphones for your children.
I've taken Bo to see the very, very loud Deftones 4 times, and he has worn headphones and Kiss, and he's worn them at everyone.
Now, do they still allow some of the sound in? How do those headphones work?
No,
or are you completely canceling everything?
No, it just lowers the volume tremendously. Do you have the updated AirPods?
I think so.
If you put those in, I think I bought them.
Noise canceling. Yeah.
So when you put those in,
it's nothing though.
It's nothing.
I can't really hear anything.
But then the music, you can
still
right.
Like if it's loud enough, you still get it bleeding through.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, Hank says Ben's kids didn't wear noise-canceling headphones at the symphony that you guys used to go to.
We did take them to the symphony a couple of times.
So good. No, he was not wearing the little baby headphones. And apparently, by the way, and I'm 49, you're almost 49, I'm supposed to be wearing earplugs at every concert I go to, and I've never worn them one time.
What's the point of going?
That's the thing. I'm like, all right, the tinnitus is on the way. Go ahead.
Jen thanks you for the shout-out to Sushi Lounge as well.
Oh, I love Sushi
you
Lounge.
And the Padres.
Oh, I love them so
We're
much.
Also Sushi Lounge people.
Yeah, it's so good.
There you go.
And finally, we'll wrap things up with the Tesla Wii Robot event last night. Were you guys aware that this even happened?
No.
So they unveiled the CyberCab.
I did see the CyberCab.
So it's a taxi, essentially, with no steering wheel. It is driverless, meaning it's supposed to, you know, be self-driving. And this video is not playing, because why would it?
I can see them, though. And there definitely is some sort
there
of bit
go.
Going on to create the ugliest vehicles possible.
Well,
I mean, regular Teslas, fine. They look good. The Cybertruck is hideous.
It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
And this now is like turning a little
I
more into
like
the...
I kind of like this one.
You like this?
I kind of like these ones.
So these
looks cool.
Would you get into a driverless taxi?
Yeah, so when I was just in San Francisco... they have driverless cars everywhere, and there's this company that I can't remember the name of it. I think it was like Google, one of Google's. But they're everywhere, everywhere.
Pilot program. Yeah,
the kids lost their mind when I'd be like, "Look at that car! It's going. There's no one driving," and they just couldn't comprehend it. But it looked cool. It looked Waymo. That's what they call them in San Francisco. It was really, really cool. I would do it.
So the event was for the CyberCab. They brought 20 of them out to show everybody. And then this was the big surprise. They called it, this was not scheduled, they called it the Robo Van. It looks like a giant toaster rolling around.
You cannot see the wheels.
It's supposed to be able to hold up to 20 people on the inside.
Whoa.
It's like a party bus that drives itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you can really see windows. I'm sure these are windows, but all driverless. Looks like Elon Musk is trying to take over public transportation.
Yeah, and apparently it's going to be reasonable to do it.
I mean, ultimately, and I don't know enough about the state of the technology, most accidents are caused by human error. Like, by far, the vast majority of accidents are caused by human error. If we ever could trust the computers, technology. You know, the AI, the technology to run all of our cars for us. Think about it. You could go 120 miles an hour on the freeway with like 2 inches of space between cars.
Yeah.
Because no one could make a mistake. And if everyone's car was hooked up to the system that was pretty much foolproof, you'd have almost no accidents, and it would be a much more efficient system. I just don't know if we're quite there yet, and obviously not everybody's hooked up to the system. But eventually, in our ideal utopia, the computers, the AI is running all of our cars for us.
And limits traffic. And
no traffic at all. Traffic
would be incredible.
You barely would have to slow down because it would know exactly where every car is at every moment, and you just slide right in.
No, I like to drive. I like
top speeds.
I like to drive. I don't mind driving when we go on to our trips to Arizona. I don't mind driving. But I would be fine if I knew it was going to be safe. You know, safer than what I'm already doing. We were driving to spring training last year. And there was a guy on the wrong side of the highway and almost killed us. Remember that? It was terrifying.
It was not a self-driving car.
Terrifying.
You hear about all the accidents, and there have been self-driving car mistakes. But you hear every headline, like, you know, every couple months you see, ooh, self-driving car causes accident. If the news focused on all the accidents that people caused, every newscast would just be a constant stream of accident caused by person, accident
Kelly
caused
Danik
by person.
Just in hell every
just
day.
Every moment of every day, you'd hear about a story. Oh, accident just caused by person. Yet you think, oh, these self-driving cars. I heard 3 stories this year about self-driving cars causing accidents.
3.
Well, what about the 8 million stories you didn't hear about people causing accidents in their cars? Because that happens every moment of every day that a person does something stupid. Their instincts are wrong, and they cause a crash in their car. No one ever goes, well, that's fine. That's just life.
Yeah.
But so, you know, eventually the self-driving thing is the correct way to go.
But the thing with the taxis is I'm down to get a more reasonable way to travel. Because Uber, when it came out, was very reasonable. It was so much more reasonable than a cab. So much more. Now it's the same, if not more, than a taxi sometimes. So I'm fine with any way to get around without having to drive sometimes.
Diesel says Tesla never dropped a ladder on the freeway.
That's
for
true.
Kelly to,
that is true.
To get irate about on her traffic reports.
That's true. I do like to drive, though. I do.
Thank you, Adam. I mean, that was fine. I do remember getting a note from, I want to say it was,
I think it was
you.
I think it was Adam.
Who said, we should really just be talking baseball and Padres.
Correct.
And yet you went with two football stories. And I was stunned.
You guys already talked about the ALDS stuff, right? Like, I would. You said you wanted the Kluge report. One of them was just football related with Malik Nabors at the
Jorge
concert.
Jorge Polanco underwent knee surgery.
Yeah.
You could have gotten a good 4 minutes out of that.
Our audience. The WNBA scores.
Game one of the WNBA finals wouldn't have been a bad. Did you see what happened at the end of that game?
No.
It was I did actually turn on the end of that game. That was a really good game. The Lynx were down 18, rallied to force overtime. So they made a four. They were down 3 with like 10 seconds left, and they had a 4-point play. 3-point basket and a foul to go up by 1. And then Breonna Stewart got fouled. She had 2 free throws to win the game. She made one, and she missed one. So they went to overtime, where they were once again tied. And Nafisa Collier made a 12-footer with 8 seconds to go. So the Lynx are up 2. Give it to Breonna Stewart. Layup, 1 second left. Missed it. And the Liberty lost game one. The favorites at home lose to the Minnesota Lynx. It was a really good basketball game, actually.
Well, I hope
last
that
night.
Trend continues tonight in Dodger Stadium, where the Padres
the favorites
are the underdog.
At home lose.
Yeah. Padres underdogs tonight.
Playoffs, anything can happen.
That's
you
right.
know that. You know that for sure. All right, when we come back, Mike Schilt, the manager's report. Technically from yesterday with Gwynn and Chris, but hey, you haven't heard it. It's new to you on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.